Welcome to Dish Nation! Woo! What you seasoning up over there, Sherry?
Well, Brad, Steve Harvey says he will be forever young, and some celebrity exes just can't seem to move on. We'll get into that.
Also, John Mayer says, honey, the laundry room is his serenity. Now, back with us today, we've got an entertainment journalist and TV host, Tana Thomason, hanging with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you so very much, Sherry. Happy to be sitting in the studio Tana. With you. So exciting. All right, guys. Brett, also good to see you. If you've been wondering why women love Pete Davidson so much...
It's that third leg, honey. That's obviously...
Okay, well, also, according to dating experts, it's his puppy dog eyes and his alpha male height. Pete's a tall guy, but that's not all. It's his ability to make women laugh, which has been proven to lengthen a person's lifespan by 20%. Yes. Not bad. So between puppy dog eyes, great personality, Pete is what dating experts like to consider comfortably charming. Mm. And the Twitterverse agrees because someone tweeted, quote, I love how every time Pete Davidson starts dating another beautiful celebrity, everyone's like, what is happening? How did he do this? And what is this mystery? And everybody refuses to entertain the possibility that he might have a nice personality. Oh. And guess who liked that tweet? His ex, Kate Beckinsale. So it's got to be true.
All right, so Brad, darling, honey, now you said not too long ago that you thought Pete, honey, was cute. So is that why or what you think?
Yeah, I think Pete has a great personality. He seems like a genuinely happy, fun-loving person. And I could see him having chemistry and lots of charm, making these women laugh, something that they're not used to. And it's attractive.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? I'm telling you, being a stand-up comic, I watch the comics. You could look like a couch. But if you can make a woman laugh, I'm telling you, you got it. But also be also wondering about that third leg. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh.
I ain't gonna lie.
Peace sliding those DMs. Sherry Shepherd.
Moving on. Now, my friend Steve Harvey said, honey, age ain't nothing but a number, and he refuses y'all to get old. So during an episode, y'all, of Steve on Facebook Watch, he had the Silver Fox Squad, y'all, on. For those of you who aren't familiar, honey, with them, they are a bunch of good-looking zaddies, honey. And Sherry, you know that's right, huh?
You know, they look good, all of them. I follow the Silver Fox Squad.
Oh.
Yes, they do. Because you know what? It's the age, but it's the suave, it's the wisdom, it's the sexiness.
Yeah.
All of it works together.
It's those busy pants.
It's the flowery pants.
Like a man in busy pants?
I like a man that's confident who can wear some busy pants.
Yes, honey. You'll love me then. Yes, because all my pants, baby, are florally printed. Let's just put it like that.
You can't even say the word.
Okay.
Okay, yes, Gary. And when the topic of fashion came up, Steve said, I'm not just going to sit over here and just let old age come and take me away. Mm. Pick me up and just walk me holding my grave. Mm-mm. Not going to do this. I don't want to walk old. I don't want to look old. And I don't want to dress old. Mm-mm. So I feel Steve.
Yeah.
Because he's been killing it in the game on social media, fashion department. He always has a swag. That makes a difference.
Yeah, but he has definitely upgraded since Marjorie been in his life.
Thank
honey, she
you,
keeps
Brad.
Him sharp
yes,
to
yes,
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 honey, he looks nice all the time with very nice things and garments.
Well, you know what Marjorie did for him, Brad, was because you remember Steve used to always wear a zoot suit.
The big
suit. He would wear the big suit,
the
big shoulder pads with 1,900 buttons on the front and
ma'am.
The back and the side.
That was the style back then, Sherry, back in his Apollo days.
Yeah, but Steve took it 12 years past the zoot suit style. Marjorie came in. I got to give it to Marjorie.
Shined
Marjorie Harvey came in. And she just upgraded him and got that fashion sense on Steve. So we can't just say this was all Steve. Marjorie got in there and did a thing on Mr. Harvey.
And Steve always used to say, honey, when I worked with him, he used to always say, dress for the job you want, not the one you have, baby.
Well, y'all, usually when you break up with someone, you want nothing to do with them. Well, not everyone thinks like that, especially these celebrity exes. So Jennifer Lopez and Marc Anthony finalized their divorce in 2014, but are still super close and have a great co-parenting relationship. And they even hit the stage together once in a while. Also, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin have remained super cool, even Even after their uncoupling from each other, both have moved on, but are super close with each other's new significant others, and they even vacay together. Wow.
Wow.
And it looks like Jennifer Aniston will always be there for Brad Pitt. They are friends, and they still chat.
But you know what? I don't think I like this, honey. I mean, celebrities never stay single, so how do their, lovers even deal with this? I mean, Sherry, do you agree with me?
You know, it's very interesting, Gary, because all of the people that Brad named, they all have their own money. Mm-hmm. They all
Thank
have
you.
Their own success. I wonder if that has something to do with it. What you came into it with, you left.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, so.
I also think there's something to be said about people who can actually stay friends, because, like, sometimes a relationship goes bad and you can't stay friends at all. And so it's like, Like J-Lo and Mark Anthony, like the fact that they got kids together and they're able to like make that work.
I love it though. But I wonder, does Ben Affleck get along with Jennifer Garner? Are they?
Yes.
They get along.
They went like trick-or-treating together a couple months ago.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a whole thing. A whole thing.
I wouldn't let my ex-husband near me in Halloween.
I know that's right. But he got to keep you around, Sherry, because girl.
What are you, young man? I'm the ex-husband. The angry ex-husband. No, thank you.
Well, speaking of couples, Ed Sheeran, who married his childhood best friend, Cherry Seaborn, is thanking Cupid that they hooked up when they were much, much older.
Oh.
During an interview on the Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepard, the singer said it was for the best. Listen to why.
When I learned that you're with your high school sweetheart, I'm so, in a weird way, jealous of that.
Yeah, but I think I wouldn't be unless I dated girls in between, and I feel that I learned a lot about dating. And I think had I dated Cherry from the age...
Oh, it would have been a disaster.
Now, Sherry, why a disaster? I mean, that's a strong word. Have you ever dated somebody and thought to yourself, thank God I didn't meet them 5 years ago. It would have been a mess.
Yeah, Brad, you know, we all have to go through, we evolve. I mean, when we're younger, we're selfish. We don't think. We may be a little bit more impulsive.
Right.
When you're older, like, you know, you found love with Judy. And y'all are both settled. You know what you want. You are so happy and in love. And I think, you know, maybe, you know, and at the time, Judy was starting a business. So maybe it might not have been good 5 years ago. You're such a different person. Ed Sheeran is successful. He knows what he wants. So, you know, I like that.
Well, if you could turn back time, would you have done some of the same things that you did recently?
I'm assuming you're talking about the ex-husband. Now, if they met me 10 years later, we still wouldn't be together. But I'm going to tell you, I dated somebody back in high school, Gilbert Hernandez.
Uh-huh.
I wish we were running to each other. I'm a whole different person.
Okay.
You ain't got to climb the tree to get in my window now. Shoot, I'll open up the front door. I'm just saying.
And then you call Gilbert Hernandez.
Okay.
You're older because you're more seasoned. You're a vet by the end of it.
Well, John Mayer has released an eco-friendly owned laundry care line called Way Out West. And the detergent has a fragrance that John mixed up himself.
Mm.
I did not know this.
So that's cute.
So I wonder if it smelled like napalm. Now, John loves doing laundry. He said, I find something so meditative about the process, which makes laundry day a very soothing ritual for me.
So I just want to say, like, to me, it's so weird. Like, I would never have guessed in a million years that John Mayer would release a detergent line.
I never
You know what I'm saying?
I love this. It's different. Thank God. It's something different than what everybody else is doing.
Everybody doing, you know, booze
and
makeup.
Like a line of guitars or something. Yeah.
Oxtails in a jar. All that mess.
Who do that, Gary?
Because you know somebody released that, honey.
Well, look at Gwyneth Paltrow. She got...
Okay.
Gwyneth Paltrow will sell you a rubber vagina.
Coming up, Maya Hawke didn't let her celebrity parents stop her from spreading her wings. We'll explain after the break. Dish Nation. Dish Nation. Well, y'all, welcome back. It looks like Maya Hawke is getting candid about her pursuit to become an actress while having two famous parents. So Maya, if you don't know, she is the daughter of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, and she said her parents didn't want her to end up doing bit parts in their movies. So Maya said they were wary of the public life side of acting and the difficulties of that. They also tried to protect me from falling into acting. She also said they wanted to ensure I had a strong enough backbone, my own passion for it, and work ethic. They didn't want to cart me along at every red carpet or have me do bit parts in their movie.
I think sometimes we think about, like, sometimes you see this with, like, professional athletes, right? Where, like the son of a very famous athlete or daughter of a very famous athlete's coming up. And it's like, sometimes there's like, are they as good as their parent? And, like, can you imagine that kind of pressure? Like if your dad or your mom was, like, a famous tennis player or a basketball player or a football player, like, would you feel like you were supposed to do
that? Serena has her daughter taking lessons. You think her daughter gonna walk into a daggone tennis place and go, I'm doing this on my own? Everybody knows Serena's daughter.
That's different. Yeah, yeah. All right, y'all, moving on. Ed Sheeran admitted one of his rules to avoid is urinals.
Yep.
Okay, in an interview, wow, he revealed that he doesn't want fans to sneak a peek at his eggplant. And that people even go out of their way skipping tons of empty urinals to stand right next to him so they can see his eggplant.
Wow. On the planet right there.
He also mentioned other awkward encounters in the bathroom, like meeting actors Kit Harington and Richard Madden in the toilet. Now, Tanner, can you relate to what Ed is saying? Do you have this type of issue?
100%. Listen up, Brad. The men's restroom, there are some very specific rules. It is like, it is not a free and open society in there. Gary, how many spaces do there needs to be on each side of a man at the urinal?
They need a couple of damn feet, honey. Because let me tell you something, Tanner. I went to a specific place. I'm not going to call the name of it. And Tanner, I don't know if you experienced something like this. But the damn urinal was like a hog trot where it was just a long urinal. Oh. And
Gary,
everybody just stood
up
there. Oh, my God.
Oh, yuck.
Sherry, you see one of these? It's like, listen, y'all, this is where I'm from. Like it's like a trough, and you're literally standing shoulder to shoulder, and there's not even any, like, sides or nothing. You just got that thing out, and you're just like,
I do not do urinals, honey. But when I was young, I used to love to go stand by there and play like I was urinating.
I bet you did.
Oh, yes, I did, honey.
Look, but listen, you don't look out. Some guy be standing next to you like this right here. You don't look like it gets real.
Side eye.
You hit you with the side eye.
If he's taller than you two, he can peep down. I'm like, oh, no. And when I did use the urinals.
Gary, I'm 5'8", so sometimes they got those little walls, and they hit me right about here like this. Uh-huh. And then sometimes some dude will come stand down next to me like that, and I'm like, oh, no.
I am with Ed Sheeran on this one.
All right, y'all. Up next, honey, Billy Crystal, honey, spills the tea on the iconic role he turned down. But first, Headcrack, y'all, has an offer you are going to love.
It's almost the new year, and it's time to get those goals and vision boards started. Whether it's saving more and spending less, getting organized, or losing weight, there's a lot of worthwhile goals to set for yourself this year. Learning a new language is definitely on my list, and it can feel intimidating. When I first decided to give Italian a shot, I was worried about the level of difficulty, the time, and the commitment. But thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, the whole process is addictively fun, fast, and easy. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go, especially when I have some downtime from radio and Dish. Now, with Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. There's so many ways to learn with Babbel, and in addition to the lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. And right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months just for the price of 3. Go to Babbel.com and use the promo code DISH. That's Babbel.com, code DISH. Babbel, language for life. And stay tuned. More Dish Nation is right after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Okay, when you think of blockbuster animated movies, you gotta think of the Toy Story franchise, but could you imagine Billy Crystal as the voice of Buzz Lightyear? Okay. Evidently, Pixar offered Billy that role, but he didn't take it. He said, quote, I'm the schmuck who turned down Toy Story. At the time, I didn't think I was the right voice for that character, and Tim Allen is great. He has this resonant, big voice of this character who's full of himself. But a few years later, Billy got a piece of the Pixar pie when he became the voice of Mike in Monsters, Inc. and the follow-up movie series. Now, Sherry, have you ever turned down a project and then regretted it later?
No, the two that I turned down, I couldn't do it. It was a movie called How High, mm-hmm. and the role was Big Booty Girl.
Okay.
Oh. Don't have a big booty.
And the second, you turned it down.
Why couldn't you do it, Sherry?
And the second one was Color Purple on Broadway. Shook
really?
Avery. I can't sing.
You can't sing?
No. And I was like, you can't fake that. So I don't regret it.
They would have taught you. You could have, I feel
no,
like
No, you can't learn to sing. Mm-mm. But I would never turn down a big money gig like that. You talking to Disney? I'm an actress. I would have made my voice deep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buzz like you.
Would you turn it down, Brett?
Hell no.
Nagiri. Would you have turned down the role?
Gary, have you ever turned down anything?
No.
Oh, honey, I had a friend had a missile that I always wanted. And then when he finally decided to give it to me, I said I didn't want it no more because it was just too old. Ooh. So I turned it down, and I've always liked it. But
yes.
No.
An old missile is a dud, honey.
A missile.
It's not going to shoot off right.
All right. I'm a little speechless.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Another big hit movie franchise, thank you, Gary, is Harry Potter. But the first film was a challenge for the director, Chris Columbus, because Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint were so green as actors. Oh. Chris said in the first film, there wasn't a lot of professional experience between the three leads. That's why the film was filled with so many cuts. The first couple of weeks, all the kids were so excited, they were basically just smiling into the cameras. I couldn't get them to stop smiling. So, of course, they got used to the cameras, and they made a total of 8 Harry Potter movies.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, I bet you they weren't smiling on that 8. They just wanted money.
They were done.
Shoot. But, Gary, what would you do if you had a co-star that wouldn't stop smiling? Is that annoying to you?
It's very annoying. I would probably ask, are y'all parents chess cats? So, because y'all smiling a lot.
Cheshire Cats.
But, Sherry, you smile a damn lot. Hell, so what do I do? Just smile back.
Just smile back.
Gary, you got a great smile. I love seeing your smile, Gary.
Well, thank you.
Anything made you smile that much, Brad? Like, when you just couldn't stop smiling?
When I see my baby.
Oh, that was so touching.
No, you know when Brad smiled? Because she's doing Set It Off.
Yeah.
And so Judy in her hometown got to play Brad's girl. And Judy sat on Brad's lap. Now, ooh. Brad ain't supposed to be smiling, but I could have sworn I saw that girl grinning. I could have sworn.
Well, Tanner, we love your smile too, Tanner. I love your smile. When you smile,
Tanner,
I smile. And the world smiles back at us.
Are you reading that right now in the book? What page is that, Gary? I know you're reading that from somewhere.
Coming up, what Bridgerton saw, honey, was told they would never be in a period drama. Find out after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Well, y'all, I'm sure by now everyone has seen or heard of the show Bridgerton. Well, one of the show's main characters, Nicola Coughlan, who plays Penelope Featherington, might not have been on the show if she had listened to what one of her teachers told her. Nicola shared in The Hollywood Reporter that her drama school teacher told her that she would never act in a period drama because her face was too modern.
Wow. Really?
You know that same teacher right now is like, oh, I taught Nicola and now she's on Bridgerton.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, somebody said something like that to Steve Harvey and told him he wouldn't be on TV. So every year, Steve Harvey buys ass a TV.
I don't have a Steve Harvey money, but I like that thing. No, I like every year.
I
should be happy.
Absolutely do this. Yeah. I would send his ass a 20-inch TV.
All right, I'm curious what you guys think. Who in the Dish Nation cast has a face too modern to be in a period drama?
I don't think anyone, but I absolutely could see Gary. What? I could see Gary in Bridgerton.
I could see Gary in Bridgerton in a white wig, little skinny pants, and one of them.
Yes. Yeah, honey. Who would I be, honey? Mr. Featherstone?
No. You'll definitely be a feather, some kind of feather.
You be a feather, all right.
Cheerio.
Toodles.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.